Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning. As we move forward in the Word of God, and all my question is, I just got to say, I'm planted on good ground. Are you? Hallelujah. I'm planted on good ground. Are you? I'm so grateful to be with you this morning. Grateful God woke me up because I was sleeping real good. But I want to shout out to my other Bible study that I do prior to moving forward. And I got in the last part of it. And it was team word, and I was very, very moved because I talked on love, and he talked on unselfish love. Love is unselfish. From 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, and then he just gave us a few things. Love listens. Love learns. And love, let's go. Hallelujah. What a great word. Thank you, Pastor Fred. So let us pray this morning. As you can tell, I'm having a little issue with my voice. So if there's anyone that would like to read this morning, push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. We are coming out of Leviticus chapter 15 through Leviticus 16:34. We are also coming out of Psalm 26, verse 6 through 12, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8, and Mark chapter 4, 1 through 20 is our title word this morning. It's coming there. I'm planted in good ground. Hallelujah. Thanking God for the planting season this day. So let's get started in our word, Father God, in heaven we come to you, Lord God, asking you, Lord, to take control. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Father, will be accepted in your holy sight. For you, Lord, are my strength and you are my redeemer. I lay this word at your altar, Lord God, asking you, Lord, to increase as I decrease. And Father God, again, I thank you for waking me up morning, clothing my right mind, Lord God, with joy in my heart for you and a love that's unstoppable, Lord God. I'm planted on good ground because you sold me there. And Lord, I ask you to continue allowing my crop to grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanking God for all of you. I just wanted to give another shout out today regarding my mom, whose birthday was yesterday on the day of twos. Hallelujah. On Tuesday, hallelujah, I love that Tuesday. My mom, her birthday was yesterday. Also, one of the mothers that listen in on this blog, Mother Bowie's birthday, which I call her my auntie. Her birthday was also on yesterday. A young lady who is named, we have the same name except for different spelling. Her name is also Bridget, had a birthday on yesterday. So shout out to Bridget Finn as well. And to any and everyone who had a birthday on yesterday, who just had a good day. Why? Because God gave it to you. We will not see another 2/22/22 again. for another 100 years. So thank God for the time that you got to experience this day. You know, maybe we'll have another 333. I mean, I won't even have that. There will never be a 333 because there's only 30 days in a month. So this is kind of unique. So thank God for it, you know, that we had a 222 in our lifetime. So thank you, God, for a wonderful day. Thank you for my mother. Thank you for Aunt Jan. Thank you for Bridget. And thank you for all those that listen in, Lord. And I ask a special blessing over each and every one. And I pray that all the birthdays, weddings, and births, and everything that was celebrated on yesterday, that people remember that you are the two, Father and Son, and that you love us more than anything. So let's get started. Let's get this, you know, we say let's get this party started when we was in the world. Let's get this party for God started while we in the Word. Hallelujah. Let this Word permeate your heart, permeate your mind, and permeate your spirit. And we're talking about, we're still in Leviticus, and we're talking about clean, unclean, what you should touch, what you shouldn't touch, what you should do, what you shouldn't do. Leviticus is a blueprint for life. I said again, Leviticus is a blueprint for life. And there are some things in Leviticus that rub people the wrong way, that make them feel some kind of way. But it is a word from God, and when it's right, it's tight. Y'all know, when it's right, it's tight. And when that shoe not quite fitting right, it hurts. So we need to understand that there's some things in Leviticus that hurt, that hit home, that make you feel some kind of way. Things like, ooh, Lord, you talking to me. So let's get into it. And if it's right, it's tight, and that's when you say, Lord, help me to be better. Help me to repent. Help me to get my act together. Because, Lord, I know for whatever mess I got, you got a message for me to teach or to preach. From every test you're sending me through, Father, I know that it is a testimony. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, I'm stoned on good ground. Are you? And in Leviticus chapter 15, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any man has a discharge from his body, his discharge is unclean. And this shall be his uncleanness in regard to his discharge. Whether his body runs with his discharge or his body is stopped up by his discharge, it is his uncleanness. Every bed is unclean on which he was the discharge lies, and everything on which he sits shall be unclean. And whoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. He who sits on anything on which he was, in which he who has a discharge set, shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And he who touches the body of him who has the discharge shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. If he who has the discharge spits on him who is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Any saddle on which he who has the discharge rides shall be unclean. Whoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until evening. He who carries any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whomever the one who has the discharge touches and has not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. The vessel of earth that he who has the discharge touches shall be broken. and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. And when he who has a discharge is cleansed of his discharge, then he shall count for himself 7 days for his cleansing, wash his clothes, and bathe his body in running water. Then he shall be clean. On the eighth day, he shall take for himself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and come before the Lord to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and give them to the priest. Then the priest shall offer them, the one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord because of his discharge. If any man has an emission of semen, then he shall wash all his body in water and be clean until evening, and be unclean until evening. And any garment and any leather on which there is semen, it shall be washed with water and be unclean until evening. Also, when a woman lies with a man, and there is an emission of semen, they shall bathe in water and be unclean until evening. If a woman has a discharge, and the discharge from her body is blood, she shall be set apart 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. Everything that she lies on during her impurity shall be unclean. Also, anything that she sits on shall be unclean. Whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whoever touches anything that she sat on shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. If anything is on her bed or on anything on which she sits, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until evening. And if any man lies with her at all, so that her impurity is on him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and every bed on which he lies shall be unclean. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, other than at the time of her customary impurity, or if it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity. She shall be unclean. Every bed on which she lies all the days of her discharge shall be to her as the bed of her impurity. And whatever she sits on shall be unclean as the uncleanliness of her impurity. Whoever touches those things shall be unclean. He shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And I want to put a pin right there. Now, you think this through. These words are telling us what to do when women are having their time of the month, are having relations with their husband. You know, that, and when we talk discharge, I'm sure that he is talking about diarrhea. And we all know that is some hard stuff. Now, you think about it in an environment of where you are basically nomad, and you're traveling, and someone has diarrhea. It is no joke. And yes, it is nasty. And if they have, you know, what they used to call the runs, I'm just being frank. We don't mince words. We're going to just tell the truth and shame the devil. It is, it's gross. And you got to clean. You cannot allow that type of discharge and not keep things clean. It's, you can't. You got to clean up the mess. And you got to use gloves. You got to make sure that you have your stuff together. It is no joking manner. And as we continue in this word, you know, he talks about relationship between husbands and wives and that you should bathe afterwards. Come on now. It's just common cleanliness. This whole word is on common cleanliness. You know, that you got to keep yourself clean. But when I put that pen in from verse 25 to verse 27, you know, we talk about the woman with the issue of blood. And when you talk about here where it's telling you, you got to set yourself apart 7 days, what if your time of impurity, 12 years, and you can't be with anybody, nobody can be near you, you can't have anybody set in your house you are alone. And you know the only thing that you can do is that you heard of a man that was healing. And you knew that if you could just get there, you know that you're going to get in trouble because you're not supposed to be in the presence of anybody because you are unclean and you're impure. But you say, I got to get there. I got to just, if I could just touch his garment, I'm going to be healed of this awful thing where I can't even be in the company of my family. I'm set apart all these years, and nobody has been able to help me. And you know Leviticus says that you got to be set aside. But if she is cleansed of her discharge, then she shall count for herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. And on the eighth day she shall take for herself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and bring them to the priest to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the priest shall offer the one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her before the Lord for the discharge of her uncleanness. Thus you shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. This is the law for one who has a discharge, and for him who emits semen and is unclean thereby, and for her who is indisposed because of her customary impurity, and for one who has a discharge, either man or woman, and for him who lies with her who is unclean. I mean, it is all there, and it is all the things that should be happening now. You don't need to be all up in folks' business. But some things you've got to be clean. These are the things that is true. Take a bath. Get yourself washed up. Folks that don't want to bathe when they have these situations. It is uncleanliness, and then you wonder why diseases happen. We got to get cleaned up. Clean up yourself. Clean up your body. Clean up your stuff. And that tells us, now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the 2 sons of Aaron when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die, for I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash and with a linen turban. He shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats as a sin offering and 1 ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull at the sin offering, which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord with his hands full of sweet incense being burned, and bring it inside the veil, and he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat. On the east side and before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger 7 times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. Bring its blood inside the veil. Do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times, cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle meeting and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come into the tabernacle meeting, shall take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there, and he shall wash his body with water in the holy place, put on his garments, come out and offer his burnt offerings and the burnt offerings of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. The fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar, and he who released the goat as the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterwards he may come into the camp. The bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp, and they shall be burned in fire, their skins, their flesh, their organs. Then he who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterwards he may come into the camp. This shall be a statute forever for you. In the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that it you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever, and the priest who is anointed and consecrated to minister as food in his father's place shall make and put on the linen cloth of the holy garment. Then he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tabernacle meeting and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priest and for all the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Moses followed instructions. He didn't play. You know, and when he finally made a mistake, it cost him entry into the promised land. Wow. All these years, he wandered with these people and didn't make it in because of a mistake. We are blessed beyond measure to have Jesus to stand in the gap for us so that one stumble does not keep us from entering in to the narrow gate. But the one thing we must do is repent and ask for forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Leviticus chapter 15, verse 31, you shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness. We may wonder at all of the rules and regulations given to Moses, but it comes down to this. Will we trust God that he knows best even when something makes no sense to us? Yeah, we do. We trust God because we want to be sown on that good ground. We want to be sown on good ground. And when we go to Leviticus chapter 16, verse number 2, and the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just any time unto the holy place, by the veil, before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die, for I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. You know, and it goes on to tell us. It's a holy thing to come into the presence of the Lord. We should never treat it casually or flippant, as Aaron learned. We can't be like, okay, I guess I'm going to pray. Prayer comes with reverence. Prayer comes with reverence to God. God is not just something you just do by word. Okay, I'm going to pray. You know, da-da-da-da, and then I'm done. And, now I can go to sleep. It's a reverent thing. You know, I went to prayer yesterday, and I'm going to tell you something. It was powerful. It was powerful. I felt the Holy Spirit come all over me, and all I could do was just sit there and just rock. It was awesome. The presence of God. But you come in reverence. You shall afflict your soul, Leviticus 16 and 29. Only on the Day of Atonement was the whole nation of Israel commanded to fast, afflict your soul. Fasting helps us to focus not only on the seriousness of our sin, but even more on the treasure of God's forgiveness. We have to fast. There's nothing wrong with fasting. As long as you don't fast a miss, fast for a purpose. Fast for atonement. Fast to tell God I am appreciative of all that I have. And I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for your love and kindness. I thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Even when I'm in the midst, you're still in the midst with me. Thank God for his grace. And as we continue, what the Bible says about the cover-up, Leviticus chapter 16. The Old Testament uses an interesting word, atonement, in connection with the forgiveness of God. Leviticus tells sinful Hebrews to bring a guilt offering to the priest who shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any one of these things that he may have done in which he trespassed. It also describes the Day of Atonement, known today as Yom Kippur. God told the Hebrews, on that day, the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. Atonement means to cover. It is the same Hebrew word translated to coat in Genesis, where God instructs Noah how to build the ark. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make room in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. While the sacrificial system functioned adequately for a time, it was temporary in nature. The sins of those living under the Levitical system were covered, but not forgiven in the absolute sense. Why? Because the blood of animals can never pay the whole debt incurred by sinners, but In those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year, but it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin, Hebrews 10, verses 3 and 4. In God's economy, sin creates a deficit. Whenever sin occurs, something is taken or demanded from the sinner. Ultimately, God requires death as payment for sin. So Paul writes, through one man's sin entered the world, and death through sin, and death spread to all men because all sin, Romans 5 and 12. So if the penalty for sin is death, then why did God not immediately snuff out the lives of Adam and Eve? Did he not say that on the day they sinned, they would surely die? Genesis chapter 2 and 17. Why does he not do the same for all sinners? Why provide a system through which fellowship could be restored if sin ultimately results in death? The answer is simple. Yet life-changing. God wants something more than retribution. He desires something more than getting paid back for the disrespect shown him. God wants fellowship with us, and he willingly puts his own system of justice on hold while he made final provision for the rescue of sinful men and women. Praise the Lord, everybody. And our last Leviticus life lesson is this. You shall afflict your souls. Only on the Day of Atonement was the whole nation of Israel commanded to fast, and we read that earlier. You know, God wants us to atone for our sins. Ask for forgiveness. Lay your burdens at the altar. Lay your sin for self at the altar so you can be sown in good ground. You don't want to be just a hearer of the word. You want to be a doer of the word. You want your crops to flourish in the word. And as you continue in Psalm 26, 6 through 12, I will wash my hands in innocence. So I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your nation and the place where your glory dwells. Do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregation, I will bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't get tired of well-doing family. Hallelujah. Don't get tired. God is giving us everything we need. We have a blueprint, and it's called basic instructions. Before leaving us, it's called our Bible. Anything and everything you need, it's in the book. Hallelujah. And a life lesson from Psalm 26, verse 12. In the congregation, I will bless the Lord. Some believers say, I don't need to go to church. Jesus said, I get along just fine on our own. But the Bible never endorses such a spirit. It always pictures believers coming together for worship and mutual encouragement. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, God. I just needed to take a minute to just say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to atone for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for just being who you are, a awesome and mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 10 and 8. A wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. Hallelujah. Let us be wise as doves. I should say wise as serpent, I'm more as doves. Let us do what we're supposed to do. love each other, care about each other, be there for each other. Atone for your sister and your brother. Atone to God. Because we're all children of God, and we want to be sown in good ground. And this is our word for this morning, and it's coming out of Mark chapter 4. And, of course, we've read it before in Matthew. And this is just a different perspective. I believe Matthew was a little bit more thorough in his word. But this is the story of the sower. And it is found, I believe, in all four of the Gospels. It might not be in Luke, but I believe it is. And it says it's this. And again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed, and some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and covered it, came and devoured it, excuse me. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was upon it, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. It withered away. Wow. That is a word all by itself. And then it goes on to tell us, and some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increase and produce some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I'm sown on good ground, all you. We got to start saying it. I'm sown on good ground. Repeat after me. I'm sown on good ground. Put your hand over your heart and say, I'm sown on good ground. When you claim it and name it, God's got you. And I'm not talking prosperity. I'm talking your prosperous heart with salvation. And I'm not going to tell anybody not to claim their reward on earth as in heaven. If you believe that God has got something with your name on it, then claim it. Write it down and make it plain. I'm winning the publisher's clearing house, one of the bigger ones. You got to claim it. I'm just, you got to speak it. Put it in existence. You never know what God's plans are for your life. You know, and like I said, you're not, when you say I'm winning the publisher's printing house, you're not talking $10. You're talking up there, you know. They have all kinds. But, you know, you want enough to be debt-free. You want enough for your church and your family to be debt-free. You want enough to continue, as they say, to create for your family a nest egg and a legacy. That's what you say. You write it down, make it plain. Lord, this is what I want to do, you know, and see what God does. Come on now. Because you can't be God in anything. You want to sow on good ground. And the question is, are you good ground? But you can put that hand over the heart and say, I'm sowing. I'm sown on good ground. Hallelujah. What are you doing for God? Is the word going in and going out, or is it permeating your spirit? Is it in your heart? Is it taking root? Let's keep going and let's see what else it is said. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, what was it? Do you understand the words coming out of my mouth? I think that was in one of the Friday movies. And we want to understand the words coming out of the Savior's mouth. We want to understand what Jesus has to say. We want to be sown on good ground. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are so worthy of the honor and glory and praise, Father God. And we thank you for your son. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then it goes on to say, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? Now, how then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. Y'all caught that right now. The sower sows the word. Teachers, our preachers, those that come before the congregation are sowing a word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in the heart. The enemy don't want you to know the word of God. He wants it to go in and out, come in, sit in that pew, don't open that Bible again until you come back next Sunday. That's the devil. He don't want you opening your word. He don't want you in your word during the week. He don't want you hearing the word. You know, aren't you sleeping? You don't need to listen to that woman talking about the Bible and reading the Bible. It's not that important. Keep on going. Come on, go on back to sleep. The devil is a lie. There ain't no truth in him. We got to be more than hearers of the word and not allow the enemy to take the word from you. How many times have you heard somebody say, ooh, if they preach a great message, what was the word? What did they preach on? And they're looking at you crazy because they don't remember. That quick, the enemy has snatched it out of their hearts and minds and ears. They don't even remember. All they can remember is the feeling and not the word. Don't remember. And then we get into the next one. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness. You know, those of us that go in church because they heard a good word, and you'll never see them again. Maybe they'll come here or there, but they don't become faithful. Wow, but they received it and it made them feel some kind of way, and they wanted to be a part. But then the world came in. And it says, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. They stumble. We all fall short of God's glory. But we need to say, I'm planted on good ground. I'm planted on good ground. I'm planted on good ground, and you got to believe it. And this is your good ground. And now these are the ones sown are planted among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, come on now, and the desire for other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Those are the folks that they come. They church. But understand that when the world series is going on and it falls on a Sunday, I'm not there. If the Super Bowl is on, I'm not there. Come on now. If the basketball playoffs is going on, I'm not there. If my kid has a football game, baseball game, basketball game, any kind of game, I'm not there. If there's a barbecue in the park and barbecue on the river, I'm not there. Whatever is going on in the world makes you want to be of the world and not of God. Hallelujah. Thank God. And as we continue, our last word for this morning. But those but these are the ones sown on good ground. Again, say it. I'm sown on good ground, or I'm planted on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. We want to bear fruit today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for this wonderful word this morning coming out of Mark. And it says this, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. God does not force any of us to hear his words or listen to his counsel. He may employ a series of uncomfortable situations to try to get our attention, but whether we choose to hear is entirely up to us. Do you choose to hear God today? Do you choose to walk in his spirit today? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I just had to take a minute to just say thank you. And then it's the last thing from Mark's life lesson in Mark 4:17. When tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. All of us need the help and encouragement of others to grow in our faith and send our roots deep into the soil of God's grace. We cannot endure on our own. We need each other to advance our faith. Where two or three gather, together, he's in the midst. He's with us this morning. He was with us at prayer last night. And he is with us wherever we go, as long as we take him with us. Never let this word wait. God will give you everything you need to help somebody. Thank God today. Praise God today. Let us see them in you today. And know that you are planted on good. That is our word this morning. Before we get out of here, as always, a word from our sister in Christ. Sister Carolyn, and Carolyn's gift this morning is this. Good morning. Don't let what people think of Father you. We are who God says we are. Have a wonderful Wednesday. And I say to you, you are planted on good ground. Hallelujah. You are planted on good ground. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, we have to speak it every day, be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my God. We got to ask God to make it personal because we want those ears hearing. We want to hear every word that God has for us because everything that the Lord has for you is for you, and it's irrevocable. Nobody can take your blessing. Thank God daily for his mercy, for his goodness, for his kindness, and above all, thank God for his time. Father God, we thank you for this mighty word this morning. We ask you, Lord God, to give us strength. We ask you, Lord God, to guide us and lead us. And we ask you, oh God, to let this word permeate our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. Lord God, for we want to be planted on good ground, that this word takes root and that we are multiplied to speak, to teach, and to let your word come forth from each and every one of us. Lord God, I ask your healing over my larynx and over my voice. And, Lord, I ask you to continue to give me strength to come every day and do what you ask me to do, to teach your word that it falls on good ground. In Jesus' name we pray every day. May the Lord watch between me and you while we are absent one from each other. In the name of the matchless and holy Savior, the one and only Son of God, our Savior, who is God, Jesus Christ. We thank you for watching over us. We thank you for permeating our hearts, minds, and spirits. We thank you for your protection. We thank you, Jesus, for your intercession. We thank you for just being who you are, our awesome and mighty God and Savior. And anything in your name we pray, thanking you for this mighty word today that has been sown on good ground. In your Son, Lord, we pray, thanking you again and letting you know, Lord. We are thankful for your word. We are grateful for another day. And we are blessed to be your children. Again, in the name of Jesus, amen. Family, be blessed. Please keep me in your prayers and allow God to use you for his glory in everything you do. You are sown on good ground. You are planted deep. Hallelujah. And I thank God for each and every one of you. Again, birthday shout out to my mom, my auntie, and my girl, Miss Bridget. Have a blessed day, family. And know you are God's children. Be blessed. It's a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work.